Hello and welcome to the newest episode of the Inspired Souls podcast with Helen Pinkett. Today I am delighted to be talking to TJ Gibbs, who is a love coach. So TJ is the founder and lead therapist at The Love Coach, an organization she created to help millions of people worldwide who find themselves in heartache, loneliness, pain, or otherwise struggling due to love. Hi, TJ. Big welcome. How are you today?
Hi, Helen. It's lovely to be speaking to you again. I'm good, thank you. Well, as good as the British weather in the middle of summer that is showing grey can be. Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Well, it's absolutely lovely to see you. And yes, here. Oh, hang on. The sun is actually just peeking through the clouds. So that is amazing. I'll send it your way.
Blink, blink, blink.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. What a shame. But let's bring our own sunshine today. Great to have you on. So you're a love coach, which is amazing. So let's actually rewind, first of all, and start, if you want to share your story and share your journey and how you got to be doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, I became a love coach because I couldn't find me when I needed me.
Right.
So I've always been an early adopter and did things my own way, hence, you know, the typical black sheep, leaves home at 16, et cetera, et cetera. But I found myself in a world, a high earning executive female in a world of men, earning six figures easily, found the man of my dreams, married him. We had a lifestyle where we traveled the world, we honeymoon in Hawaii and Hollywood and those kind of things, and lovely cars and all of those kind of stuff. And then one day woke up to find out that my life had been a lie, my marriage had been a lie in terms of my perception of it and what I built it up in my head to be.
Okay.
And I think some people would say that that was the final straw, and we need to understand what that means, final straw. That means lots of other things came before it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just other things in the marriage, it was other things in life. I had lost my father, had a car accident, a friend died within a few weeks of being diagnosed with cancer, another friend killed themselves. So there was a number of events prior to, I think it was probably my late 30s, when my understanding of life, is shit, basically, to put the words, just really came crashing in. All of these things that I'd not dealt with. And I say to my clients, it's like pushing dirty laundry down. Eventually, it's going to stink.
Yeah.
But basically, the finding out that my husband wasn't the faithful, honest, open, sincere partner that I thought we'd be forever was the starting of a new version of who I've become. Right. So I sought help. We actually sought help with a relate in the UK who told us they couldn't see we had any issues, and we were separated within 2 weeks of that meeting. So I was at a stage where, like, why can't people understand that there is a problem here? He can't understand it, the relate counselor can't understand it, but yet we're not together. Yeah. So there, and like many people who've experienced cheating or infidelity in their lives, there's so many questions and nowhere for the answers because when you have cheating in a relationship, it's very obvious often that the person doesn't know why they do it. They do it, it's an unconscious requirement. So seeking those answers and not getting them really affected my mental health. And I did what a lot of men do, which is throw myself into the work even more. And then it got to the point where I think your mental health can do one of two things. It can keep burying things, or it can take you down a path of self-destruction if you don't get the help that you need. And that's the path that I went. I stopped burying and faced the self-destruction mode. And long story short, with a number of stories that, when I look back now, have taught me so much. I ended up being admitted. I agreed to be admitted, so it wasn't sectioned, into a mental health institute.
Yeah.
And was assessed along with people that really were crying out for help with no mental health illnesses, but serious sadness, right. which I've now learned and moved on to understand was soul sadness.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what depression is. And when it gets to the point where you can't live the human journey anymore, that it's too painful, there's too much that you can't take, that soul sadness can become all encompassing.
Yeah.
So when I was discharged, because there was no mental health diagnosis, there is no support after that.
Okay.
So I would go to counsellors. I mean, I'm not in a relationship, so a relationship counsellor, you know, will they deal with me? Will, you know, a dating expert, it's not what I want. I'm not looking for a relationship kind of thing, but I can't get over what's just happened with partner, you know, the love of my life, my partner, my best friend, all the losses that come along with when a marriage breaks down. So I decided that if I wasn't going to get there, I'd go to the top. And we as anybody who's listening to this in the UK would have heard of, is Paul McKenna. He's a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I was a high earning executive female with staff and everything like that. Let me go to the top and somebody that can help me deal with my thinking on this.
Sure.
And he wasn't taking clients, luckily for me, because what they suggested is that I look online for somebody near me. And then I found a cognitive hypnotherapy angel. So cognitive hypnotherapy meant nothing to me at the time, like it probably doesn't mean anything to you. But within four sessions of cognitive hypnotherapy, I had moved past the depression that I was in for the year, had decided that I no longer hated myself for the way I was reacting to my marriage breakdown, and that I deserved a future. And within 6 months, I emigrated to Barbados and lived there for 5 years.
Wow. So, amazing. I love that.
So being a real fan of cognitive hypnotherapy. And one of the things that happened while I was in the hospital that I only found out once I'd, you know, got to that stage, was that I had glandular fever, which is not that uncommon in adults who are in executive roles, who are highly pressured, who push themselves, and, you know, human doings rather than human beings are really vulnerable to that particular illness. And what it brings is it is with a massive bout of depression.
Right.
With the physical symptom. Yeah. So Barbados was a chance for me to rest in peace, and without resting in peace.
Yeah.
to like heal.
Yeah.
And to find myself again and to get back my energy. And when I came back to the UK, which was after 5 years, there's a long story behind that. But things, I couldn't just keep going back to the same old things. I was an IT consultant. So it paid very well, and I could get work whenever I wanted it, contractually or consultancy.
Yeah.
But every time I went back, I felt like it was killing me. It was suffocating my soul. So I ended up working with a spiritual counsellor. And there was an awakening happening at the time. Everybody says to me now, because I still dabble sometimes in IT, if I want to, say, for instance, put funds into the business or anything like that, you know, how can you do the both? It's so different, IT consultancy and the love coach. Because the love coach is who I am, and the IT consultancy is what I've been.
Yeah.
So being able, so the way I found out I was going to become the love coach was through meditation. Some exercises that I developed called the Passion and Possibilities exercises, where you look at what you've learned in life, what you're really good at, what you have a natural affinity to, and what you're passionate for. And I remember saying to friends at the time, I'm New Year's resolution, I'm going to become the love coach and I'm going to lose 3 stone. Well, one of those came true. So it's a good start.
Yeah.
So basically, I went back and I trained as a cognitive hypnotherapist in the thing that had healed me. Years worth of training with the Quest Institute. I then went on to do the relationship coaching, the life coaching certifications, the NLP practitioner. And I still at that point didn't really know what was going to become of everything. And then, as I'm sure you'll agree, once you start getting into flow, the universe delivers you to you exactly. And my belief system,
absolutely,
as well. Yeah. Just like when you're ready, and then it will start to flow.
Completely. Amen to that.
And then you've got to, and literally amen to that, because then you've got to be ready to receive.
Yes.
And that's the issue for a lot of people. It's not until they're taken to their knees can they be willing to receive what's coming.
Mm.
So I see my, if you want to say breakdown, I don't see that as that. If you want to see my breaking down as anything, I would say it's probably the most positive thing that's ever happened in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I no longer walk around with the fear of that happening.
Mm, yeah. Because you've been through it. And so many of the guests that I speak to on the podcast have been through these terrible things that have happened in their lives. But actually, it's been an amazing turning point, because it forces you to really go within, do the inner work, look inside, and then you come out with a different perspective, a different person. Better person, even.
The real you is allowed to explode. Your passion, your purpose is in your pain and in your passion. Between those two things, between your pain and your passion, is your purpose.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to go to your knees to be able to stand up straight again.
Yeah.
And I went on, and I had a natural affinity for it. It's something I've always done, but never done as a job, with people, with individuals, with friends, with family members, with my parents, even, something I've always done. And it went on to become such in flow that I had networks of people that came in to help me. And it was suggested I write the book for those who couldn't maybe afford the coaching. Yeah. So my book is called Get Ready for Love. And it's basically got to the point where we started off with women. And a lot of that was single and post divorce women. But then we had a write-up on the book from a guy in America that said, I don't understand why this book is only written for women, it's really been helpful for me. And at the same time, again, the universe started putting on me a need to work with men. At the same time, it came into flow. So my team and I actually sat down and rewrote the book.
Okay.
To ensure that it could cover for both men and women.
Yeah.
And now I would say my clientele are probably 50-50.
Sure. Yeah.
And now the love coach has become much more encompassing, in that it's in the whole cycle of love. So whether you're looking for love, you don't know what you want, your soulmate profiling, or whether you're in a couple and you're struggling to get steady with love, which is the second book that's going to be coming. Or whether the third book, which is in the offing as well, is called Go With Love. So I look at the whole holistic journey of the people that I'm connected to. And I'm in the background with, you start off doing the work that you need right now, and I'm in the background as you move through the cycles to be there to help my clients.
Yeah, so the full range, right from the beginning, right through to the end, I guess, and beyond.
Yeah. Yep.
Helping people to.
And the cycle that goes around, and staying in love with yourself, or falling back in love with yourself in between, when you've given all your love away to somebody else and there's nothing left for you. So there's still those gaps, even in between the cycle of relationships, because a lot of the work that I do is the premise is self-love. And being a cognitive hypnotherapist, the reason that my work has the dramatic effect it does is because a lot of people can lie to themselves. And I have certain measurements and mechanisms that I can tell if that's happening. And then when we go into hypnosis, we can really work on the core truths and deal with the issues under hypnosis that maybe the conscious mind is not ready to deal with.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. So I was going to ask you about self-love, because we talk about you working with couples and people who are in their cycle of a relationship, but it all boils down to, I always say it's boils down to self-love. First of all, loving yourself first is so important. So you help people to boost their own self-love and the way that they see themselves, I guess.
And that's it. The biggest effect on our happiness is our opinion of ourselves.
The
biggest threat to men under 50 is their opinion of themselves with suicide rates. So how you perceive yourself, and also how you love yourself, because we give people permission on how to love us. So if we are abusive, if we are unhealthy to ourselves, if we don't care about ourselves, we give other people permission to emulate what we do.
It's
an unconscious dance that happens. I'm not worthy of your love, so I do not expect you to love me. Gets picked up as, you are not lovable, therefore I will try, but I will probably fail to love you. And the cycle begins. So it's not just a politically correct statement that you should love yourself. It's absolute requirement for love to grow that it has the fertile ground within you. Otherwise, there's no seeds that will grow from any healthy flowering of any relationships from those seeds.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, so important. So we were going to touch on lockdown, love after lockdown today. Are you seeing more people now, or what's been happening, and what's
what has happened is, obviously, what people are now obviously more aware than ever, how can I put it, that there's something wrong with them, right? We all have growth to find, right? But what happened was, the lockdown was like, you know, we all go into that stage at Christmas where we've got to be the best versions of ourselves, and we're on show, and we're with people we don't want to be with, and we're doing things we don't want to do, and we can't escape, and all of those kind of things. And there was a different set of pressures, but it was like a year of that Christmas 2 weeks. So what's happened with people is, they've had to go inside themselves, because that's the only way that they can cope with being with somebody else or with being on their own.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happened. It's intensified. If you're on your own, that's become much more magnified. Or if you're with somebody, that's become much more magnified. So what's happened is, people haven't been able to escape themselves and the truth of the relationship that they've got. So people are, it's probably sped up people's relationships. There's been, I was reading something recently of a British law firm commenting that they'd had an increase in divorce inquiries of 122%.
Wow.
Since we're coming out of lockdown. Now, if you think January, January is the usual month when the divorce lawyers get an increase in that. So obviously, as people are now being allowed to explore if they want to move on from this relationship, because with all the restrictions, you know, especially when you couldn't move, you couldn't buy a place, you couldn't do all of those kind of stuff, you had no choices. So now it's like, well, I now have these choices. And what's happening with individuals are going, well, I don't want to just go back to the routine I was in of loads and loads of dating on apps. I don't know what I want. Now now I like my own company.
Who
do I want to share it with?
Or
I haven't coped well in lockdown, and I don't know how now I'm confident enough to go back out dating. Through to the couples that are looking at each other and going, I don't know if I like you anymore.
Spending a lot of time in the same company.
Under the pressures of losing your job, having to homeschool possibly children, not being able to go out, not being able to unwind. People, you know, may go out and drink or hang out with their friends or go to football matches or hang out, you know, just go for dinner with their girlfriends or something like that. Then they haven't been able to unwind. So the worst versions of themselves have been allowed to kind of be focused in on with all of these unconscious stresses. And it's not a normal situation. This would be something you would take as a guinea pig kind of thing and put under the microscope and say, if we add this pressure on, this pressure, does it break?
What happens? Yeah.
But lots of people are asking, are we broken? Huge inundated increase with couples who are saying, I don't know if we can do this anymore. But what is so, so fascinating, I don't know how long it's going to last, is that many of the clients that are reaching out to me are the men in the relationships.
Okay. And usually it's women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, are dragging the guys to, and I don't work with clients unless both are happy to come to coaching.
Sure.
I would work with an individual with themselves, but I can't work. I always say to my clients when you come through the door, if you're not the problem, I can't help you.
Mm.
Because the other person's not in the room.
Yeah.
So I can only deal with you that's sitting in front of me. So if you're both willing to come. Mm. And it is really interesting how many men are reaching out to fix their relationships, which I think that's a bit of a change as well, because men have had to kind of stop and think about things other than the workaholic kind of focus or the sports fanatic kind of focus or, you know, overworking because they might have been furloughed and kind of things like that. So maybe for the first time, they've kind of had to step back and say, well, actually, maybe there is a problem here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're being able to look inside more themselves, looking at different parts of their lives, like you said. And I guess when there's something wrong, we can throw ourselves into work or different parts of our lives to kind of, then we don't have to look at what's important.
Distraction techniques.
Yeah, the distraction, yeah. So yeah. So interesting then. So you so you're seeing more men and you're working with couples.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. And so are more people splitting up at the moment, or are more people coming to you for advice about finding a relationship?
Well, this is really interesting. One of the things about my training, I remember just the very first thing when I was doing relationship changing, is that our job is not to keep people together.
Mm.
And from a spiritual perspective, my belief system is that sometimes relationships are for a season or a reason, not a lifetime.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I love that saying. Yeah.
And it's really important to understand that we have more than one soulmate who comes into our life for any reason. And holding on to a soulmate whose season or reason is over can be as painful as never having had a soulmate in the first place.
Yeah, sure.
So where clients are at the moment is they are wondering whether they should stay or they should go. So the first thing I work with is facing if you go, what does that mean? Mm. Because once you give someone permission to do what they don't think they're allowed to do, you can get them to focus on the things that you want them to focus on.
Yeah.
So I give my clients permission and get them to agree that they have permission, if all else fails, to part, and that the work that we will do in go with love,
yeah,
be amicable, and they won't take the baggage from this relationship into the next one.
Yes.
So the work I do initially is on how ready are you to go, right? Yeah. And I think what that does is it allows people to put that down while they work on how could we stay.
Yeah.
So a client of mine said last night, that out of 10, he was 10 out of 10 that he wanted the relationship to continue. She was a 2 out of 10.
Right.
See? So I said to him, how do you feel about going into coaching from that point of view? And he said, I want to know that I've done everything that I could do before we let this go.
Yeah.
So I think after lockdown and only just coming out of things, I think a lot of clients are at that point. They don't know whether this is lockdown, whether it's them, whether and what we're different people now after lockdown.
Oh yes, yeah, completely. I agree with that.
And that's why I encourage my clients to not look back but to look forward. We will do some, I wouldn't say I'm a counsellor in any sense of the thing, because I'm very intervention based. We will do some work in understanding, release some feelings, but most of the work will be on, is there a new relationship for us two going forward that we can find?
Yeah.
And if there's anything like betrayals of trust, infidelity, cheating, etc., have to be careful with that word, because one of my couples is quite a young couple. So when I said, has infidelity been involved, they were like, what is that? The word. Yeah. Like, but if there's been cheating and the trust is broken down. I wrote an article recently after, you know, Mac Hancock's affair that was picked up, about can your relationship survive an affair?
Yeah.
And my answer is no.
No.
Because that relationship is over.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that a new one cannot form.
I see what you mean. So you can continue being with the person, yeah, but in a different way.
Relationship. There's an opportunity to explore that.
Mm.
Now you are who you are as a result of finding out that your partner is not the person you thought they are.
Mm.
Can you now look at this new person in the same way you looked at the old, or in a different way? Yeah. And can the new person who understands the impact of what they've done, that the, you know, the person who's done the cheating, do they understand who they are now? And one of the gentlemen that I was speaking to said he wanted his partner to understand where he was coming from. Mm. So I asked him, do you understand yourself? Do you know where you're coming from? And he froze and went, oh my God, that's a good question. Yeah. Because as I say to my clients, you cannot expect somebody to understand you if you don't.
Mm. Yeah, very true.
So what we will work on is all the things that brought them together that they love about each other and where they can go from here forwards.
Yeah.
What they need, what they're willing to put into it for a new relationship, to see if a new relationship can grow.
Yeah.
So it's allowing them permission to let go of the past relationship. And that might be physically as well, if they decide to walk away.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I work with clients together and then individually, and then I bring them back together where I'm the mediator then for the truth, the real talk.
Yeah.
So your question was, are people more splitting up? If they're not getting the help, I'm sure that's the only way to go, because how do you break the cycle of where you've been for the last year?
Mm, yeah.
But obviously there's a lot more chance if you're reaching out for therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you are reaching out for help, or you want to see a coach and getting help, then there's got to be that desire to make things work there. Because I think people would just say no, goodbye, walk away. But if both parties are willing to try and work, or try and work with someone yourself, like yourself, then there's a glimmer of hope there, isn't there? There's some, you know, they're willing to put the work in.
And there's more than what I say to my clients. It's more than just whether you'll stay together. It's if I leave, how do I cope going forward? Because my crash wasn't when I went to the relationship expert. My crash didn't come during the period of where we were together. It came a long time after.
Sure. Yeah, I guess it's the readjusting to life, isn't it? Starting a brand new life, which it's got to be quite a big...
And the anger that you can leave with that. I became self-destructive because I was so angry. So I'm pretty sure that unconsciously I thought, if I destroy me, he'll regret treating me the way that he did.
I'm with you. Yeah,
it was like a punishment connection. So I was prepared to sacrifice my happiness, my physical and my mental well-being to teach him a lesson.
Okay,
that is powerful,
very much
stuff. Yeah. So also it's not just can we stay together, it's how can I heal before I move on.
Yeah
as well, because heartache is life-threatening for some people.
Yeah completely. So, especially if you go down a self-destructive route,
then
it's not good. Wow, it's absolutely.
Or what they'll do is they'll go and run into the arms of somebody else when they haven't taken the time to understand how they feel about what's happened in their past relationship and bring all those issues with them.
Yeah, I was going to say take the baggage forwards, and then that then creates issues in the future relationship as well.
Yeah, if you don't treat an infection, then decay is just going to continue to run rife.
Mm.
So it's not just about keeping couples together. It's about if you're going to move on after this life-changing event, how do you stay healthy mentally and physically with those two things as well? Because obviously mental health can damage physical health as well in terms of illness.
Completely.
And a lot more serious things. And then obviously we then go through to the cycle of, okay, now you've made this decision, now you've split up, now you've done the work on you. Where are you at with love? Are you ready for love again?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get ready for love? Which again is the title of my book. So we come into the full circle of what do you want now?
Yes, of course, because it's then beyond the healing, what's coming next, and are you ready? Yeah, that's fascinating.
And getting ready and being willing to let go of that past and embrace the future that's waiting for you. And that's a big ask when somebody's been heartbroken. Yeah. I mean, I was watching a young lady on Love Island, a program we have here in the UK, and she's met somebody that she really likes, but she can't let him know that because he's scared of getting hurt. And what I say to my clients, and this is just such a huge piece of advice I've given, if you're trying to stop yourself getting hurt, you're actually hurting yourself in the process. But by denying yourself all the love and joy and fun, companionship that could be waiting for you. So actually, you're a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes. That makes complete sense, because you're holding yourself back then. It's self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Because you're stopping yourself from moving forwards. And I think you have to be vulnerable, don't you? And you have to be open to put yourself out there for these experiences to occur in life.
It's called a therapeutic paradox, in that the thing you fear getting hurt, you create.
Yes.
So some people do it in relationships. Mm. They are so scared they're going to get cheated on that they act in a way that forces their partners down the routes of, if I'm going to get accused of it, I may as well do it. Mm. And then they say, aha, I knew I was right all along.
Yeah.
What the thinker thinks, the prover will prove. So yeah. A lot of my work on cognitive hypnotherapy is on getting you to think differently.
Yeah.
So you can prove how worthy you are, how valuable you are, how sexy you are, how fun you are, what a good father you are, what an amazing partner you could be. All of those things, it's all about perception of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Self-love, self-love, self-love.
But if you don't know yourself, how... And what happens is, I do a piece of work called the Mycemia Experience, which is where you actually, under hypnosis, meet the three parts of you, me, myself, and I.
Okay.
And you will very often find that the self part is not hugely active in someone's life. The me, which is the inner child, especially if they're dating, they're a nightmare for you. If the me is dating, you'll get a lot of drama there. But if the ego is dating, especially in relationships, you get to meet the ego, the inner child, and your core self. And many of my clients struggle with that core self, understanding that part of them. They fully understand the inner child and they fully understand the ego.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing with self-love. It's very difficult to love someone you don't know.
Yes, of course.
So a lot of my work is on personal transformation and development of understanding what love language is something that people are common with, but love styles. What is your, are you visual, are you audio, are you kinesthetic? Because they work three different ways in relationships.
Yeah.
What is your love programming? What are your love filters? All of those things, discovering who you are.
Mm.
Because one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they love people the way they want to be loved.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of the way that person's love language. Yeah.
So it's like, saying to somebody, I want an Indian on a Thursday, and your partner saying, I don't want Indian food, I prefer Chinese.
Mm.
And you're getting upset with them because they don't want Indian food at the same time you do.
Yeah.
It's like expecting them to have the same things that make them tick, please them. So, for instance, an audio person needs to hear the words, I love you.
Yeah.
And they need to hear it in a sincere tone. You can say, yeah, I love you too. That will not land well with an audio person. A visual person, and I think there's a lot of this in society now, that, we may judge somebody if their partner puts some weight and they don't want to be with them.
Mm.
So if a man meets a woman at a size 10 and she becomes a size 18,
yeah,
he loses the passion for her. We judge that as a society. You should love her as she is. But actual visual people make a contract with you visually through their eyes.
Yeah.
So who they fall in love with, the image of who they fall in love with, yes, they can get past these things with some help.
Yeah.
But when the visual changes, a lot of the attached emotions change. Yeah. They don't choose to.
Yeah. but it's just that's their kind, that's their style, that's how they work.
Mode of where that's they really see interesting. The world.
Yeah.
Kinesthetic people feel things.
Yeah.
So they may feel something about you, but when you change, because we're all changing, right? Everybody changes. When you change and you're not doing the same thing that makes them feel the same way they did before, they can't return love anymore. Their sex becomes an issue. They're not stimulated. Yeah. They're not feeling connected to you anymore.
Mm.
So understanding who you are, visual, audio, kinesthetic is one of the elements.
Yeah, I know which one I am, definitely. That when you say that, that's so
interesting. And out of interest, what are you?
I think I'm kinesthetic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a struggle when you're coaching, because when you can feel people's emotions and feel that connection.
Yeah, I'm an empath. So yeah, definitely. Yeah. That fits for me, I think. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I'm an empath, but I'm highly audio.
Right, yeah.
So some of my work is as well, I really believe spiritually that we all get messages about our lives and about other people's lives and when we listen. So I'm highly audio in the terms that I also pick up a lot of messages.
Yeah.
That I can deliver people, which is really helpful. If the client... I only will deliver if the client is on the level where they want to speak about any spiritual things that come through. So my work is mostly practical. It's real talk, but with an element of spirituality.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to bring that in, because if you're getting messages and that you say your clients are open to it, then I think it's great. Wonderful. Wow, this has been an amazing talk. I could talk to you all day, TJ. This has been absolutely fascinating. For our listeners, could you tell them how to find you, where to find you, how they can work with you?
Yeah, so the website is thelovecoach.co.uk.
Great. I'm going to put all the links in under the show, in the show notes as well. So
yeah.
I'll pop those in too, but if you let everyone know.
And there's a great little exercise on that website that I would really encourage anybody to do. It's free. You don't have to be a client of the Love Coach. And it's called The Wheels of Life and Love. And basically, pop on there. It takes you 3 minutes to actually find out your happiness rating.
Across
12 elements of life and love.
Mm.
And what you can do is benchmark yourself.
Yeah.
So you can see where you're at with those things. Have a look at anything that scores under 5 that needs your focus. Go away and do some work on that, either my help or with the book or yourself on personal development, and then come back in 3 to 6 months and take the quiz again and have a look at where you need to improve your happiness rating.
Oh, I'm going to check that out afterwards.
it's a great, great way to measure your own progress in life and in love.
Yeah. Great stuff. I'll check that out. So like I say, I'll put all of your links in the box as well. And before we go, do you have any words of wisdom to leave with the Inspired Souls podcast listeners today?
I would say to couples, it's very difficult. You know, we cannot tickle ourselves, right? Because the energy exchange. So it's very, very difficult to coach your own relationship when it's struggling.
Yeah.
So I'd say reach out for help. Don't hesitate. Like my client said last night, at least he knows he did everything that he could. So if they walk away, they can say they tried. Okay.
Yeah.
For single people, I would definitely say stop judging yourself and start looking at the value of who you are. Be careful who you date, because we can't help who we fall in love with.
Mm.
So look at your values and look at who you want to attract before you go out on the date with that person. Don't wait until you're way down the line, ignoring the red flags to understand your value then.
Yes. Yeah. Great words. Great words of wisdom for those looking for love and those in a relationship currently. It's amazing. Thank you. Thanks so much, TJ. It's been great talking to you today, and I'm going to go and check out your quiz. And thank you to all of the listeners who have tuned in today. You can find TJ via her website. Like I say, I'll pop it all in the links box. And thanks so much, TJ. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me, Helen. It was lovely.
Brilliant. Okay. See you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye.